Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, September 7th edition of Juno Afternoon on KTOO News. I'm Joan Pardis, your new Wednesday host. We'll be chatting about upcoming events here at the radio station, find out what's going on at Eagle Crest this weekend and this winter, find out what's cooking at AWARE for a male youth mentoring program, and also get a preview of the upcoming Juno Arts and Humanities Council concert series. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Washington State Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell is preparing legislation to unwind the tax-exempt status of the NFL due to the league's refusal to force the Washington football team to change its name. Capitol Hill reporter Matt Laszlo has the story.
Team owner Dan Snyder hasn't been moved by outcries from Native Americans who say they're offended by his team's name. Now lawmakers and leaders at the National Congress of American Indians are trying to financially punish the NFL for allowing the Redskins to keep its name. Washington Senator Maria Cantwell says the NFL may listen if lawmakers take away millions of dollars in tax breaks enjoyed by the league.
Now the NFL continues to enjoy its not-for-profit tax status granted by the federal government. In the next few days, I will be dropping legislation to end that tax status.
Minnesota Democratic Congresswoman Betty McCollum blames the entire NFL for exploiting what she considers a racial slur.
It can only be money that motivates the NFL to defend a slur that harkens back to the darkest days when a white man could get paid for hunting down and murdering an Indian in cold blood for money.
50 Democratic senators have gone on the record saying they support greater sensitivity on the part of the team's owner. But Dan Snyder maintains the name honors Native Americans, and he's resisting calls to change it. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo.
Bay Area news agencies are reporting two Native people filed suit Tuesday, alleging San Francisco police use excessive force on them after being ejected from a Giants baseball game in June. April Negret and Kimball Big Horse claim this happened after they confronted a fan wearing a headdress, and the pair are asking the Giants to take a stand on cultural appropriation. The incident took place on Native American Heritage Night. The Karuk tribe is among fishermen and environmental groups who say they're encouraged by California's governor for acting on legislation. This week, Governor Jerry Brown signed a package of bills to establish a framework for more sustainable groundwater management in the state. Tribes, fishing, and environmental groups are now urging for swift action of the reforms to help protect resources. The Aboriginal People's Choice Music Awards were held last weekend. The awards are to honor the best in Indigenous music in North America. And as Dan Karpinchuk reports, one artist cleaned up.
The artist, of course, was Cheyenne, and while she may be retiring, it will certainly be on a high note. The musician from northwestern Ontario picked up four Aboriginal People's Choice Music Awards during the weekend event in Winnipeg. She took awards for Best Country CD, Best Entertainer, Best Single, and Best Album Cover, in addition to six awards she won in 2012. Cheyenne Havorka, who's been performing on stage since she was 9 years old, announced her retirement while performing earlier this year, saying she wants to devote more time to teaching young people in northwestern Ontario. The Ontario band Ghost Town took the award for Best Rock CD, and the band's vocalist Logan Statz says sharing the stage with so many musicians he's idolized is a dream.
Man, it's first off, it's a surprise for me, and second off, it's one of the most humbling things. Like, we've been watching these guys since we're kids, you know, and now we're up here with them, you know, so yeah. It's just like, it's unreal, you know.
But not everyone is enamored of the awards. Some First Nations are against what they describe as government or corporate recognition of their ceremonies. Many consider music to be sacred, and they're angry that governments and corporations endorse such events. At least one activist complains that the Aboriginal People's Choice Awards are sponsored by some of what he calls the biggest violators of Indigenous treaty rights, companies such as TransCanada Pipelines, Enbridge, and Manitoba Hydro. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. The Convention and Tourism Department of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce provides convention and event planning services for Native American organizations. Information at ahcnm.org.
If you are a Native American, there's one simple thing you can do to help your elders, help young people seeking an education, and help develop Native business. Go out and vote on November 4th. Voting on Election Day makes a difference in Washington, D.C. and at home. Go to nativenews.net for more information. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kawanak Broadcast Corporation.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News. It's 3:05 p.m. and the weather is mostly cloudy, highs around 56, the same this evening, and rain tomorrow, highs around 54. Tomorrow night, rain, lows around 49, and then rain throughout the weekend, so says this weather report that I'm looking at right now, 58 at the airport, 56 downtown Juneau, and 57 in the Mendenhall Valley. So in the studio right now, we have the KTOO Arts and Culture Dream Team. We've got Jeff Brown, who's the producer and engineer of the show. We've got Cheryl Snyder, who's Arts and Culture Manager of the station. And we have Scott Burden, who is doing all the programming over here, a lot of the programming. And they're here to talk about what's happening at the station. So, hi, thanks for walking down the hall.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Joan.
Yeah. Thanks for letting us be part of your show.
Oh, anytime.
So, so it is coming into our busy season. We have lots of events. Scott and I have been working on our series that we started up last year for the studio space at 360, and then we've got the K&N concert series and a whole bunch of things happening, a special event this weekend. So we thought maybe we could just talk about all of them, little snippets of each, and people can find out more information online.
That sounds great.
Okay, so the first one coming up is a Prairie Home Companion. It's a live viewing party happening on Saturday, and this is in conjunction with the launch of the 40th season for the program. We are getting a live stream from the Fitzgerald Theater, so we're going to be watching the action as it's happening. We're working on setting up at 360 downstairs. We've got a huge screen set up, and we've configured how we're going to put the tables together. We're accompanying this with a meatloaf supper. It's $10 for adults to get in, $5 if you're 12 and under, and if you're 5 and under, it's free. We'll have the special viewing. We'll have some great food prepared by the Breeze Inn, and they are not only doing meatloaf, but they're doing powdered milk biscuits and rhubarb pie. Very appropriate. We'll have some beer for sale from the Alaskan Brewing Company, and we're going to have trivia. I just today got a huge box of stuff from the folks at a Prairie Home Companion with all sorts of things that we can give away and a bunch of trivia questions to play a trivia game. So I think it's going to be a blast. The event, the doors will open at 1 o'clock, and at 2 o'clock we will start the screening. So between 1 and 2, come get some food, eat, and we'll do trivia until we get into the live broadcast.
I'm going to wear red socks. To be like Garrison Keillor.
Terrific. Let's see how many people in the audience can wear red
socks. I'll put this out there right now. If you wear red socks on Saturday, we'll give you a little extra meatloaf.
No, that sounds great. So I heard on the radio today that also, I guess it's a national event, they're throwing these parties throughout the nation, and that people could put their hat in the ring to actually go see the show live. Is that true?
Yep, that's absolutely true. And I'll have the details prepared for that for Saturday. When people come in, they can get their name in the hat.
Okay, and the space could accommodate up to 80, so there's room to come on down and have some fun.
Yeah, and I will say that over the last couple of days, ticket sales have picked up. So if you're hoping to go, don't hold off. Get your tickets today to make sure you have a seat.
And they could do that on the website, right?
Yes, ktoo.org.
Okay, so that's this weekend. That's Saturday at 1 o'clock, show at 2. And then what else is coming around the corner?
All right, so next Thursday, we get to kick off our season of Arts at 360's Alaska Originals, the concert series that features Alaskan musicians doing Alaskan original compositions. And our first group this year, we're very proud to have the Rob Cohen Jazz Group. And in excuse me, that outfit is Rob Cohen, of course, on piano. Doug Bridges plays sax, Alexi Painter on bass, and Clay Good on drums. And the show they're calling Contrafaction. And I invite people to come to the show to learn more about that. Rob will be talking about that throughout the show, playing music. It's 1 hour. It's down in At 360. Doors open at 6:30. Cameras roll at 7. This will be recorded for a later broadcast on public statewide 360 North. It's going to be a fun show. I remember one of the DJs played the PSA on KRNN on Monday, and a half hour later, people were already coming in to get tickets for that show. And if looking back on the KRNN Spotlight series, when Rob Cohen and company played over at the Gold Town Nick, that was a sold-out show.
Yeah, we had people lining the hall. So again, this is another ticketed event. If you want to go, get online, KRNN.org or KTO.org, get your ticket.
Yes, that's not to be missed. So that's a lot of fun. Also, speaking of Arts at 360, arts events happening downstairs, we have our writer showcase season is going to begin on November 13th with our first show themed Holidays. And Cheryl, what did we say for our deadline on that?
I think it was, I'm pulling up the sheet, October 5th. That's a Sunday. And the way that this works is that we're looking for short stories, fiction or nonfiction, that time out to about 10 minutes long when read aloud. And this is the second year that we've done this series. We actually had the holiday theme last year as well, but this is going to be an annual tradition that for the holiday season, this program will be created a fresh one each year. So stories about holidays, you can make them up or tell something from your own life, about 10 minutes in length. And stories are read aloud by trained actors. We've been tapping the crew at Perseverance quite a bit and some of the other folks who do performances in town.
Jones alumni.
Yeah, that's right. Joan, you had a story last year in our holidays holiday show.
Shona, right? It was really interesting as a writer to hear your work read by anyone by yourself. So it was really fascinating. It was fun. And the stories were great. Heather Lende had a wonderful story that was read. They were all read. Well, no, Jeff Kirsch and Clint Farr read their own stuff. And everybody else was, their pieces were read by professional actors. And the stories were varied and funny and poignant. It was really quite a collection.
Yeah. And so we're going to look to get 4 or 5 pieces of writing for this show. And as we've already said, it's going to air on statewide TV. And then we strip the audio, and that's broadcast on K2, and it's also made available to all the other public radio stations in the state. Many of the stations do end up carrying the program. So it has statewide reach. We get submissions from all over the state. If you are a writer or know of a writer who's interested, just contact us. We'd love to hear from you.
And we do have, we'll be doing 3 writer showcases this season. Holidays in November, of course. Then we have Journeys in March. The theme is Journeys. And then in June, we have an open theme. It's just going to be writer's pick. And if you want to see the deadlines, the submission deadlines for those, or get more information, details, all that stuff, we have it all at 360north.org. And you can probably, you can link to it from ktoo.org as well.
And I'll just add one last thing. We appreciate very broad interpretations of our themes. What we really want is just really good stories. And so if you think you've got something that doesn't quite fit, then submit it anyways, and we'll work with you.
Yeah, let us know. Or if you have an idea or have questions about the series, please let us know. Yeah.
Sounds great. And all this information is on the website at ktoo.org or krnn.org. And there is a lot happening in this building. So just one last question before you go. The 360 North Studio, how long has it been around, just for people who maybe haven't ventured into that space? And what is the, you know, goal, purpose of that space?
So we launched the space a year ago. That's when we officially opened the doors for people to come in and for us to start doing our own original productions out of it. We have several things in mind for that space. First, it's a super high-tech performance space. We've got top-of-the-line sound system, digital recording. We can do all sorts of stuff in that room. If people want to rent it to do meetings, we can do teleconferencing with video. We can web stream. So there's a lot of uses for the space. We ourselves have 2 sort of series that we're doing. There's the Arts at 360, which Scott and I work on, and we have sort of our subcategories of shows within that. There's also Forum at 360, and that's what our news and public affairs teams produces. And the goal there is to try to do one public affairs type program out of that space every week. So they've got several that they've produced. We're not quite at the point of one a week, but that's our goal. And then it really is a space for the community to rent and use in any number of ways. We just hosted a party. The Alaskan Brewing Company had a post-beer fest party over in our studio space for a bunch of the people who'd worked on it, and it worked out great for them. We had an actress in town who was doing a production that she wanted to get a good high-quality DVD of the production, so she rented the space, and our staff worked with her to do a really high-quality recording of it. So there's all sorts of things that can happen out of it. If you have any interest in the space, just get a hold of us. We'll be happy to walk you through it and let you know what your options
and
are.
And I'll say, as a performer, I've played music down there, and the acoustics are great. It's a fun place to perform, and you can arrange the room how you like it, often with chairs and tables, stuff like that. It's a flexible space.
Yeah, it sounds great. It sounds like such a multi-use room. Mm-hmm. High tech, you could have your meetings, you could stream live, you could have a party.
You could
have a party with live music. And it's really about inviting community to participate in the arts and participate in public affairs, it sounds.
Yeah, exactly. And even, you know, organizations that want to do a board meeting and they've got participants who are in Anchorage or elsewhere in Southeast that can't fly in, that's where, you know, the live video streaming can be very helpful.
Yeah, and just about any media option you can think of, we can probably do down there.
That sounds great. Okay, so you heard it here. There's lots happening, starting with the Prairie Home Companion Party this Saturday, starting at 1, going live at 2, joining the national party at 2.
Exactly.
Lots of giveaways, even tickets to go see the show live. And then there's the Rob Cohen Trio on Thursday.
It's four of them.
That would be a quartet. The Rob Cohen Jazz Band. Sorry about that. I don't know which one I left out, but I'm sorry. They're all essential. And then writers at Writer Showcase.
Yep.
Deadline is October 5th. If you have something you want to share, send it in, and they'll pick four or five writers, and it will be happening in November. So thanks for dropping by and all you do for our community.
You too.
And we're
going
to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Terrific. Thanks.
Brought to you by Powder Milk Biscuits in the big blue box with a picture of the biscuit on the cover. Made from whole wheat, raised by Norwegian bachelor farmers, so you know they're not only good for you, they're also pure mostly. Give shy persons strength to get up and do what needs to be done. Heavens, they're tasty and expeditious. Has your family tried them powder milk? Well, if your family's tried them, oh, you know you satisfied them. They're the real hot item powder milk.
Hello, and welcome back to Juno Afternoon. You're listening to the Wednesday, September 17th edition on KTOO News. It is 3:18 p.m., and our next guests are the folks from Eagle Crest, Matt Littler, General Manager, and Jeff Reclow, who's in the sales and marketing team, and also the Snow School team. Maybe we need to give you a few more hats, Jennifer. But it's fall. It's not quite winter, but it's time to start thinking about it. There's a bite in the air, and you're having a party this Saturday, aren't
you? We are having a party this Saturday. And yes, winter is just around the corner. The leaves are starting to turn, and we know that the termination dust will be on the hills in no time. So this Saturday from 10:30 to 3:30 is our sixth annual Discover Eagle Crest Day. So we're inviting the entire community to come up. We've got lots of activities going on, and come on up and enjoy a day on the mountain.
Okay, so when you talk about activities, what can people expect? So it's 10:30 to 3. We're up at the mountain. I assume the lodge is going to be open.
And, you know, of course, we are all starting to think about winter, encouraging everyone to think about winter. So season passes will be on sale at our PFD rates. And so you can buy your season pass. You can get yourself or your kids signed up for snow sports school programs. The Juneau Ski Club is going to be doing a bake sale fundraiser, and you can also sign up for race programs. But we also have a lot of other activities going on as well. The Porcupine Share will be running for free chairlift rides up the mountain, or up the Porcupine Learning Area, from 11 until 3. So if you want to go get a ride on the chairlift, you certainly can. The Baranoff is going to be there with their Alpine Barbecue and their Alpine Beer and Wine Garden from 11:30 to 3. And let's see, we've got...
looks like Discount Zipline Adventures, too.
Oh, yep. Yes. We work with Alaska Zipline Adventures. They've scheduled two tours to do for an excellent Discovery Eagle Crest Day rate. And you do need to register for those in advance. And that information is on our website at skijuneau.com.
Okay. So the Alaska Zipline Adventures are offering zip tours at $50 per person. It seems like a pretty great deal. But you do have to pre-register. So let's talk about winter. You say that the termination dust will be here around the corner. And I'm sure there's lots of people already looking up saying, when? And of course, none of us have a crystal ball. But what are the PFD rates? What is the difference about starting early and then, you know, thinking about it when the snow flies?
Certainly. Well, as far as winter goes, scheduled opening day is Saturday, December 6th. So we're all have that on our calendar, and we're hoping that the snow comes, you know, sometime in November and we get open on time. But as far as seasons pass go, now is the great best time to buy your seasons pass. It's at its lowest rate of the year, and you know, you can lock it in and be ready when the actual season starts. So right now, adult passes are $469, and seniors are $419, teens are $329, and youth is $169, and then children 6 and under is just $29 this year for a season's pass, and that gets you direct to lift access.
I don't know another place on the planet that has competitive rates like that. I have friends who live in Vermont, and you know, and they don't have a PFD there either. And it's really breaking the bank as far as getting season passes. These are great deals. These are really, really great deals. When you say seniors, what is the age for a senior?
That is 65 to 69, actually. And then we have a separate super senior rate, which is 70-plus.
Right.
And that's only $199, so they've got an even better deal. And we want to keep them skiing as long as they can. They've been great supporters of the area.
I'm going to guess that some of those super seniors can ski certain people off the mountain.
Oh, certainly. We've got from the youngest age all the way to the oldest, we've got some great skiers at Eagle Crest.
All right. And in the past, there's been fifth grade. You have some kind of fifth grade promotion?
Yep. All the fifth graders in Juneau have free skiing or snowboarding up at the mountain, so they can get free lift tickets. They just need to register with us and get their passport, and then they get a lift ticket at the window every day that they're up there. And as part of that fifth grade passport program, they also get one free lesson and one free rental.
Oh, that's
so
great.
This is a great opportunity. So we just want to encourage all the fifth graders in Juneau to do this. It's free. You don't have to buy it. You get free lift tickets. And there's also more information on that on the website as well.
Okay, and if somebody's listening, you have your diehard crowd that's lining up the door, already bought their tickets, already thinking about it, their season tickets. What about the buses? So if somebody's listening saying, oh, I have a fifth grader, and that would be a great opportunity for my child to get exposed to the mountain if they haven't been up there. You also have a bus service. How does that work?
We do. We contract with First Student. They're the experts in the bus driving. So they operate our snow bus for us. It operates weekends and holidays. And it'll pick you up. There's a variety of different pickup spots around the community, and it'll take you up to the mountain, get you up there by the time the lift's open, and then at the end of the day it goes back down and drops off again. You can get a bus pass right now for just $69, and that'll get you all the bus rides that you need for the entire season.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah. And then one last question. So there's the big party up this weekend. Go in with all your questions, buy your tickets, or just go hang out and
just
have some fun.
Just go hang out and have fun, see what Eagle Crest has to offer, see what's new up on the mountain.
Sounds great. So one last question. Nobody has a crystal ball, but do you have any I don't know, glimpse of what the winter will be like? Do you have an instinct?
Well, we certainly are not lacking in moisture these days. I think it's been a long, wet summer. And if that moisture continues, we need the temperatures to drop a couple degrees, and we've got some snow. So we can hope that works in our favor.
Right.
You know, the real forecasts this time of year are very variable, and I think as we get closer to the end of October, November, we'll be able to get a better sense of how the season might start. But for now, we can just hope, and we've had a string of good winters, and we hope that continues.
Sounds great. All right. So see you on the mountain on Saturday.
See you on Saturday, and you can get all the information at skijuno.com.
Okay, great. Thanks for all you do, and see you on Saturday.
Thank
all right, we're going to take a short
us.
Break. We'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 17th of September, 2014. It's the birthday of the poet who wrote "So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow glazed with rainwater beside the white chickens." William Carlos Williams, born Rutherford, New Jersey, 1883. Father was a businessman, English, mother Puerto Rican. His mother spoke and read to him in Spanish. He went off to school in Switzerland, France, learned French, but came back, went to medical school, and practiced medicine full-time there in Rutherford, New Jersey. William said, "I have never felt that medicine interfered with me, but rather that it was my very food and drink, the very thing which made it possible for me to write. Was I not interested in man? There the thing was. Right in front of me, I could touch it, smell it. It was myself, naked, just as it was, without a lie telling itself to me in its own terms." It's the birthday of Hank Williams, Mount Olive, Alabama, 1923. Radio star, successful country recording artist, but he kept playing roadhouses, and he died on his way to playing one in Canton, Ohio. Died in Oak Hill, West Virginia, in the back seat of his Cadillac. He was 29 years old. It's the birthday of Ken Kesey, born in La Junta, Colorado, 1935. Grew up in Oregon, on the Oregon River, went to Stanford University, studied creative writing. He was a night attendant in the mental ward of the Veterans Hospital, and his experience became the basis for his first novel, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It came out in 1962, was made into a movie in 1975. And it was on this day, 1787, the U.S. Constitution was signed by delegates at the final meeting of the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. The Articles of Confederation, which had bound the colonies together, did not work. It was a loose confederation which emphasized the rights of states, and not a single state was paying all of its federal taxes. The government had no way to penalize them. Troops were deserting. The military was weak. And so they wrote a constitution which called for a strong central government, led by James Madison, who came every single day, took notes on the proceedings, argued tirelessly for the idea of the central government, and came to be known as the father of the Constitution. Here's a poem for today by Joseph Stroud, "We Shall Be Released." Every afternoon that autumn, walking across campus, past the conservatory, I heard the soprano practicing, her voice rising, making its way up the scale, straining to claim each note, weeks of work, of days growing shorter, darker, storms slamming the campus, the semester staggering to an end, everyone exhausted, drained, heading out and going home, the campus nearly deserted, but the soprano still working the scales when I passed under the trees, the liquid embers on fire, the clouds like great cities sailing out to sea. And didn't I ascend with her, my own weariness and sorrows dropping away? Didn't we rise together, her voice straining, wavering at the top of its range, almost reaching, almost claiming that high, free of the body, final note. We Shall Be Released, a poem by Joseph Stroud from Of This World, published by Copper Canyon Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
Hello, you're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO News Juneau. We're live from the Alaska's capital city. Jeff Brown is at the board. He's the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Partis. I'm now the Wednesday host, and it is 3:29 p.m. Our next guest is Richard Radford. He's here from AWARE. He is the community engagement advocate, and he's here to chat about a new male youth mentoring program called Compass. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Joan. Thanks for having me.
It's always great to have you on the show. So let's talk about this new program. It's called Compass, and who's the focus audience? Who's the target audience for this new program?
Sure thing, yeah. Well, this is a curriculum that was developed. It's actually been several-year process in different agencies across the state of Alaska, and it's a program aimed at 12 to 18-year-old males who are working with a male mentor in some sort of setting. I mean, it could be an outdoor activity or sports or an indoor activity. Pretty much, it's pretty flexible as far as a curriculum goes.
Okay, but it's a mentoring program for young men, and the goal is to mentor in behavior?
Well, there's a lot of different areas. We work under the Alaska Men Choose Respect, with the ANDVSA.
What is that?
The Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
Okay.
So, sorry, I live in a world of acronyms.
I know, most people do, and I have to say, maybe I know what that is, but I'm not sure.
So
it's Alaska Men Choose Respect, and this is one of the programs under that banner.
Sure thing. And, we do several programs, the Girls on the Run, Coaching Boys into Men, and so this is a new one that's been developed. And so it has various areas. There's different... It's designed to work with teachable moments and stories and activities that can be used. And like I said, flexible as far as time. If you're in an outdoor setting, you may only have a few minutes or you may have hours to spend with the kids. So and they center on things like knowing who you are, knowing your emotions and respect for yourself and others, good communication, conflict resolution, becoming men, all those wonderful things.
It sounds like growing up, period. It sounds like a great program. And so when you're talking about a mentoring program, is it like one male adult with several kids, or is it one-on-one?
It could work in different settings. We're pretty open. I mean, it's not since this is a curriculum that the mentors that we're looking for would be trained in, they can adapt it. It's very flexible. You can look at the materials. We have they're waterproof and tearproof, and you can kind of stick them in your bag and carry them wherever you go. And
they're man-proof. They look great.
You can give them a little thing. They're pretty indestructible.
Made for Southeast Alaska.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So I assume that maybe you need some mentors to train.
Right now we're working, and this is a statewide program, but we're focusing our efforts on finding people in Juneau. We're looking for men who are working in a mentoring capacity with boys through an agency or a volunteer thing, or pretty much we're pretty flexible, sports as well. And we have a training coming up in December, it's a three-day training in Anchorage. We do have some availability for funding travel, airfare, and hotel and per diem and all those kind of things.
Meals. To participate.
Sure thing. So it is a commitment as far as going, but we try to make it as easy as possible for people interested. And it's going to be 3 days, December 2nd to December 4th. So coming up in a couple months. Application, though, is due October 1st. So we just are coming down on a couple weeks now.
Okay. And so this is a statewide program that's launched this winter.
Mm-hmm.
So the training will be with men from throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
And the criteria to become a mentor mm-hmm. is – the interest or a little more than that?
Well, the interest and also just being in a setting where, you know, it would be a mentor who is in a position to work with male youth and does it. I mean, we've seen with coaching boys into men that the coaches have a huge influence over their players, much more than we would just, or I would, just going into the school, say, on to do a one-off talk or something like that.
Presentation,
right. They're working with them really intensely.
And what kind of volunteer commitment is it? Would it be like, you know, is it like a couple hours a month or is it?
It's with Compass, it's actually really great. It is really flexible with the time as well. You can pretty much use it when you have time to use it. And there is some light questions as far as, you know, what did you have time to get through in this period of time and whatnot. But it's made to work with people's schedules. It's made to be as unobtrusive as possible.
All right. It looks great. I'm looking at all the material right now. It looks really comprehensive. It sounds like it's a great support system for these mentors. So if they want some more information to say, hey, yeah, I do want to know about the application process and I would like to know more, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, they can call AWARE at 586-6623. Or email me at richardr@awareak.org. There's also an application online at andvsa.org, and that's the ANDVSA website, and there's actually an application you could download from there, and you could get it to me, or you could just give me a call, and I can talk you through the whole thing. So.
Okay, and then you could also eyeball this information.
Sure. I'm willing to meet with anybody or chat a little bit more, and we've been in contact with several agencies in town. So.
All right. Yeah, it looks great. And then there's another deadline coming up, another AWARE program, the Women of Distinction nominating process.
That's correct. Yeah, that's actually coming up really soon. So September 22nd, which is Monday, is the deadline for Women of Distinction. And this is for people who don't know, each year AWARE recognizes women who, you know, have worked to benefit the lives of women and children in Juneau and just, you know, outstanding women who deserve recognition. And it's a really great event. We have a dinner each year.
Right. So if you have somebody that you want to nominate and you just go online, fill out the nomination form, and then there will be a review panel that will pick four women that will be honored sometime in March.
That's correct. Yep. And the website is awareak.org. You could also call us at 586-6623, and we can help you out there, too.
All right. Sounds great. So if you have any questions about this new mentoring program for male youth, give Richard a buzz or go to the AWARE website and find out more information.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for coming in today. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Thanks, John.
This is Bird Note. Some cloudless night in September, when the air is clear, take a seat outside. Turn your binoculars to the sky. With patience and a bit of luck, you may see birds flying across the yellow face of the moon. September is peak migration time for millions of songbirds heading south from temperate North America to more tropical latitudes. Most migrate at night. Orioles, warblers, sparrows, and tanagers. Nocturnal migrants of the same species call as they fly, enabling flockmates to stick together. Many of these flight calls are distinctive, enabling those with an excellent ear or good recording gear to identify them as they pass. Like many nocturnal travelers, the Swainson's thrush avoids predators by flying at night, because hawks migrate during the day. But mostly, night migration's attractive because the cooler, more stable air makes flight more efficient and prevents overheating, meaning that even a tiny bird, like a warbler, that weighs around a third of an ounce, can cover as much as 200 miles in a night. Your Moonwatch vigil may reveal only a few dozen such birds on the move, but researchers along the Gulf of Mexico have tracked more than 1 million birds headed to Central America on one busy night. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
The Alaska Folk Festival and KRNN proudly present Falltoberfest, October 3rd and 4th at the Rockwell Ballroom. Six bands and two nights of music, dancing, food, and good cheer. Featuring the Great Alaska Bluegrass Band, Honky Tonk Habit, the Overby Family Band, Tramwreck, Rumblefish, and Cold Country. Enjoy three bands each night at this all-ages event. All proceeds benefit the Folk Festival and KRNN. Tickets available at the Jack, Hearthside, and akfolkfest.org.
Bartlett Regional Hospital Foundation presents their annual Seafood Gala and Fundraiser, Saturday, September 27th, 6 p.m. at Centennial Hall. It's a Roaring Twenties soiree with a plated seafood dinner and featuring the Thunder Mountain Big Band, auction, dance, speakeasy, and more. Come in themed or cocktail attire. Don't miss the Bartlett Regional Hospital Foundation annual fundraiser. Tickets available at brhfoundation.org, The Jack, Hearthside Books, and the Blue Heron Gift Shop.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon live from Alaska's capital city. Just want to clarify my chat with Richard from AWARE. So this male youth mentoring program is for teachers and coaches and men who have a group of kids that they're working with on a regular basis. It's a curriculum to support them in their interactions with the youth and add-ons. And it looks like a comprehensive curriculum that would really enhance a young youth's comprehension of growing up in Southeast Alaska. So if you have any questions, by all means, give Richard a buzz at AWARE or go to the website. And that training is in December. The deadline is coming up. I think it's October 1. And the trip to Anchorage for the training looks like there are funds to get you up there and pay for all costs associated with it. So it sounds like a great program. So we're going to listen to Stefan Grossman, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hello, you're back. It's Juno Afternoon live from Alaska's capital city. It's 3:44 p.m., 3:45 p.m., and it's 56 degrees in downtown Juno. I'm Joan Pardis, your Wednesday host. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. He's running the board. And our next guest is Miranda McCarty. She is the program and marketing coordinator for the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Miranda's new in her position. Hi, Miranda. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
It's your very first time on Juno Afternoon.
It is.
That is great. So we are here to talk about the Juno Arts and Humanities Council's 41st season.
Yes.
41 years. That's a really long time.
I know.
What a vibrant community we have.
Yep.
So you've got a lot of stuff going on for, you know, everyone, adults, children, the whole shebang. And you start on Thursday, October 30th with the United Kingdom's Ukulele Orchestra.
That's right. They'll be here October 30th, and they're doing a show at the Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. And there might be, I think, about 7 or 8, and they're just hilarious. You should check them out. They're really funny.
Okay, so why isn't a ukulele orchestra funny?
Well, it's not because they're English. We know that much.
I don't know about that. I love the dry English wit.
but
why? What do they do more than play ukuleles?
They,
I guess,
do.
They do.
They sing and they have little skits on stage.
Oh, fun.
One woman played a neti pot in sort of an opera style.
Oh, it's Monty Python meets ukuleles. Oh, my goodness.
I think that's a good way to put it. Yep.
Right. Okay, so that's the first show. And then what's happening in November?
So November we have Ke Aloha, and he's from Hawaii. He's a slam poet, and he's been all over the world. He's played on all stages, and he's probably one of the most inspirational acts we'll have here all season.
Wow. And then in January, you have the Intergalactic Nemesis. And what is that?
So they're kind of a fun mix of radio show meets comic book strip meets, I don't know, onstage performance. They call it a live action graphic novel.
Wow, that sounds interesting.
I think it will be. They have someone on stage doing all of the sound effects, and then they have three people singing and acting out the parts. And then you see the comic up on the big screen. So the comic, you know, images up on the big screen.
Sounds great. And then, of course, in February is the Wearable Art Show. Is that true?
That's true.
And it's juxtaposition this
juxtaposition
year?
Yep, that's the theme this year. We haven't quite announced it to everyone, so that might be news to some people. There was a little sneak peek of that in one of our press releases, but that's the theme this year. And we have a new designer, Northwind Architects. And it will be February 14th and 15th this
and,
year.
And Hannah Wolf is directing that.
Hannah Wolf is directing it.
And she directed The Blue Bear.
Yes.
And she's directed all over the place. She's been in New York. She's been in Europe. She's been in a lot of different places.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's kind of exciting.
Very.
And then there's the iconic Motown Gospel Workshops and Gospel Celebration in February as well, which I forgot the man's name who comes.
Bobby Lewis.
Yes, he comes and he teaches a lot of people. Last year, there were like more than 100 voices. It was just terrific.
Yeah, I think it's really popular. I think we have to bring them back every year or else we will hear about it.
Right. People won't be happy.
Yeah.
And then in March, we're just kind of going through the broad strokes. If you want all the information, you could go to jahc.org. But there's the Body Vox Dance Company. What's that? We're just getting little sound bites here.
So they're from Oregon. They do tours all over the country. They have different tours. Yeah, there's probably about 6 of them. They do sort of a dynamic performance, includes theater and music and dance.
All of this is just kind of interesting. It's not like, oh, it just is this or it's just that. It seems like constantly like a mashup of so many different genres. It sounds exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
And then what's happening in April?
So April is our headliner. That's the Second City from Chicago. I think most people have heard of them. They're sort of the pre-Saturday Night Live comedy troupe, school, improvisational theater. And they're at Centennial Hall. That'll be a big show.
It is. There's a huge improv community in Juno. It's just...
That's what I'm learning.
It's astonishing.
Yeah, it's a week after the improv...
Fest
here.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So with all these things happening through the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, I bet there's some benefits of being a member or maybe buying a season's pass.
Absolutely. So if you become a member, you save 20% off on a season pass and 15% on a flex pass. So this year, a flex pass is 4 performances or more. And, you know, even if you're not a member, you can still save by buying a season pass or a flex pass.
Okay. And a flex pass is you pick and choose what you could do.
That's correct. Yep. Okay. You can choose any 4 or 5 or 6. And if you choose 7, then get a season pass.
All right. That sounds good. And then also your calendar, the Juno Arts and Humanities Council calendar, it seems to be kind of the hub of the art community here that you know, people send stuff to be posted on it. So if you want to know what's going on, and as you could tell just from this show, there's so much going on just this weekend. Mm-hmm. We've got what's going on at the station. We've got Eagle Crest, and there's more and more and more. So you want to talk a little bit about people who might want to submit stuff for the calendar and how people could maybe follow the calendar or find out, you know, I don't know if you have a Facebook page or a Twitter account.
So if you go to our website, jack.org, and you click on community and scroll down to the community calendar, right under the community calendar, you'll find a little form. So you just fill out that form and hit go, and we get that information and stick it onto the community calendar for you. And we also talk about it during Arts Up, and that's on Thursdays during Juno Afternoon.
Okay, that's with Shona, usually Shona Stress, yes. So that sounds great. Okay, and so there's seasons pass, there's memberships. This is the time the launch of the 41st season happens in October.
That's right.
And is there anything else you want to talk about? Maybe a Friday fun, the first Friday event? Do you have an idea of what's going on? Okay, so you have to go to the calendar to find out about
calendar.
That.
We have a First Friday tab as well on our website.
Okay, so let's listen to, you know, what's happening in the UK this week.
Let's do that.
Let's listen to the United Kingdom Ukulele Orchestra. Okay, hit it, Jeff. So that was the United Kingdom Ukulele Orchestra. That is the first show in the Juno Arts and Humanities season 41, 41st season. Now we're going to get a little soundbite of the Intergalactic Nemesis, which will be coming in January, some kind of Comic-Con thing. Let's hear.
What happens when a reporter and her assistant set off in pursuit of a story, only to get sidetracked by mysterious strangers?
Come to the right shop.
Mind-controlling villains.
Look into my eyes, young one.
And ultimately face a threat to the very future of humanity.
Oh, come on. It's only the very threat of the future of humanity. That's a great place to end. And now we're going to, I know, my gosh. It's like, and what happens? Oh, no.
You have to come to the show.
Exactly. You have to come to the show. Exactly. And then here we're going to listen to Bobby Lewis, who is Juno's very own Motown King. So let's listen. Motown and Gospel King. Here we go. And I called him Juno's very own Motown and Gospel King because he comes up every year and he trains dozens, more than 100 last year, in Motown and Gospel singing, gospel workshops, and then there's a big, big, big concert party. So that's pretty terrific. I caught it last year for the first time. I don't know what rock I've been living under. And then speaking of rocks, don't be under a rock in April because the Metalis M5 Mexican Brass, which is the headliner of the 41st season, one of the headliners of the 41st season,
yes,
will be there. And here's a little sound clip of that. So while we listen to the Metalis M5 Mexican Brass, Miranda just told me that they're actually quite wild, and they sent us some tame MP3s. You want to talk about that?
They did send us some pretty tame MP3s. You can hear from that one that they're really great musicians, but they also have a really good sense of humor. They dress up in costumes, and they play songs that we've all heard, like Harry Potter theme song and Dixieland, so...
Okay, so if you need more information about the 41st season of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, get a membership, get a season pass, save some money, put some things on your calendar for the long, dark winter that's around the corner.
That's
go
right.
Check it out at jhc.org. So that's the end of our show. I'm going to do the weather right now. It is 50 degrees in downtown Juno, 46 in the Mendenhall Valley, and 48 at the airport. Tonight is mostly cloudy, chance of rain. Tomorrow, rain, highs around 54. Thursday night, rain. Friday night, rain. Friday, rain. Saturday, rain. And it's not chance of rain. It's rain. And Saturday night through Monday is rain likely. So thanks for joining us. Jeff Brown's at the board. He's the producer and engineer of the show. If the show went well, it is because of him. I'm Joan Pardis, your talking head on Wednesdays. And Miranda, thanks for coming by, and come by again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Next thing, all things considered. Next thing, all things considered. Okay, don't forget to tune in to Juno Afternoon every day at 3 o'clock. And if you'd like to listen to it online, you could do it at ktoo.org. Tomorrow, Scott Burden will be sitting in for Shauna, and he'll be talking with representatives from SEAC, a visiting dermatologist, about upcoming healthy skin clinics. Learn about the opening of the 1994 Juno Community Time Capsule, and also regular Arts Up session that happens every Thursday. Have a great afternoon. Thanks for listening.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210.